about feeling undignified. My God. Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't we serve Almighty God? Ah, he shows up in the most unexpected ways to do the most unexpected things. And I thank God that I was in this house of worship this morning, because I just felt something shift in my life and in the life of this church. And as Pastor Joy talked about the treading and the muck, and while I was standing over there, I got this image of people in quicksand. Quicksand, you know quicksand? And I learned something on Facebook, because that's where I learn everything. I learned it on Facebook that when you're in quicksand, do you know how to get out of quicksand? You got to move your feet. You got to move your feet. You got to move your feet. That there is a releasing that happens in the sand as you move your feet. My God, did you know you cannot die in quicksand? No, this is what I learned on the internet, so I don't know if it's true, but we're quoting it today. You got to move your feet. And as I entered, as the worship started, my God, the Lord is reminding me to remind this church, my God, that there has been a stuckness, as Pastor Joy has said. My God, you have been under construction for many years. My God, but God said that is on purpose, because the construction is to tear down and to rebuild again. My God, I see the Joshua Center perched high, the core of the city of Hamilton. And God reminds me when our Lord and Savior was on the earth, and the neighbors and the Pharisees and everyone looked around and said, what good would come out of Bethlehem? Well, today I declare, what good will come out of Hamilton? What good will come out of the core? What good will come out of the core? What good will come out of the core? My God, God is reminding me that some of us, we got to continue, be reminded of our first love. Do you remember when you first met Jesus? Do you remember that time you first had a realization of who he was? And there was something, there was a passion that was inside of you. And I'm reminded of the word passion. God gave me an acronym for it. He said, passion, Colleen, is pass I on. Passion. That's what we've got to do. We've got to be passionate so that when people see us, my God, they catch a fire of that passion. And that is the core. There is a passion that is bubbling in the core of this church. My God. And I am privileged to be a part of it this morning. My God. I thank you. I thank you. I know that was not anywhere in my notes. That was a freebie. That was a freebie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So first, I thank the pastors of this house. Brock, can this come? I feel restricted. Yeah, thanks. I don't even know if I need a mic. Do I? You're going to record me? Oh, my gosh. Really? Because I put on my good hair today. Thank God. I'm honored by the pastors in this house. Pastor Joy and Pastor Ace Clark. Sorry. Hallelujah. I'm in awe of your strength and your undignified worship. Yeah, and what people don't realize is, maybe Pastor Joy doesn't realize, is she's just has been a spiritual mother to me for many years. She's the first one who declared something over my life when nobody knew. She said, you will do drama. She told me that many years ago. I think it was at the first WOW that I've ever encountered her, and I thought, how does this woman know this? How does she know it? But my God, I thank God for your prophetic voice in my life that continues to echo into my spirit. My God, the word of God will do that which it has set out. And I'm pardon my undignified style. I'm in awe of God this morning. What good would come out of the core? Huh? What good would come out of Hamilton? I don't know, but God is about to shift and change things. So I thank God for Pastor Joy and Pastor Ace Clark. I am honored to be here on Mother's Day. Amen? Amen. And last year I was here on Mother's Day, and I didn't have any children, but this year I birthed a child. Amen. Aren't you guys going to say, did you get married? Christians. I birthed a 16-year-old daughter who has been nothing but the joy in my life. Her name is Tia, and she is my foster daughter. She is my spiritual daughter. And today, I stand here in awe that your mother would have released you to me. Ah, that God trusted you with me. She is brilliant. She's gorgeous, but she's also quite brilliant. So I thank God for you being in my life and actually being able to celebrate Mother's Day officially, not just in the spirit, in the natural. Amen. I thank God for my long lost. You're not lost. For my one of my dearest and closest spiritual sisters, Vita Panico, for coming all the way from Brampton today. Of course, greetings from our house, from the Brampton Christian Family Church and Pastor Susan Keitley. We greet you all this morning. And Faith, I must say, Faith, out of all the voices that were in here, my ear was so attuned to yours. And I just want to tell you, I miss the sound of your worship. And I'm not about embarrassing anyone. That's not what it's about. I just want to tell you that I miss the sound of your worship. There is anointing that breaks the yoke when you begin to worship. So I'm just reminded you, do not forget that place. My God, I was laughing. I thought, how do you know where she? How do you know that voice? Because my spirit responds when you begin to worship. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So let's pray. My God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but God, your word stands forever. And so, my God, this morning I come here naked, undignified, and not ashamed. God, I am like the child who brought their loaves and fishes to you, O Lord, Father God, and you took it and you multiplied it. So God, I thank you that you would take this word, God, that you have hidden in my heart this morning, and you would multiply it and feed your children. God, they're after food this morning, O Lord, Father God. God, I thank you that we will not only be listeners of the word, God, but we would be doers, my God, like quicksand, God. We would continue to move on despite the circumstances, O Lord, Father God. So I thank you. I thank you that at the end of the day, God, they will say that it was good for brothers and sisters to dwell together. So, Lord, I decrease right now so that you can increase in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I know Mother's Day can be a little touchy subject for some of us who didn't grow up with a physical mother in the house. And I know on Father's Day I'm really good at saying, God, you're my father. But I said to the Lord, what happens on Mother's Day for those of us who didn't have a good relationship? Or those of us who might have lost a mother, something, or maybe we've been separated from our children. The prodigal ones have not come home yet. I said, Lord, what do we do in that situation? And he began to point me to some amazing women in the Word of God. Amen? Isn't there some amazing women? I'm so proud. I mean, I know, men, God bless you. Hallelujah. Yes, you are the head. However, there are some amazing women in the Word of God. And so this morning, I really want to turn you to one of my favorites, which clearly is not this page. It's found in the first book of Samuel. We're going to be talking about Hannah this morning. If I had a title, I don't know why people say that, I just like to copycat. But if I had a title, it would be called Barren, Bullied, and Broken. Is that not Hannah's story? And so we pick up the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to start in 2 because we know that Hannah's husband, he had two wives. Right there we knew there was a problem, right, women? We're like, that was your first mistake, okay? So he had two wives. One was named Hannah and the other was named, Peninnah. Even the word Peninnah sounds nasty, doesn't it? It's not as graceful, because Hannah means grace, right? You say, Hannah. Yeah, this is my other wife, Peninnah, right? Her name just doesn't, it sounds mean. It sounds mean. And it says that Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man, meaning her husband, went to the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts. And the two sons of Eli and the priest of the Lord were there. And when the time that the husband offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to her sons and daughters, because she had children. So he gave them their portions, but to Hannah he gave a worthy portion. In some versions it says Hannah got a double portion. Amen? Hannah got a double portion because he loved her so much. A worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went to the house of the Lord, so she also provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Then said her husband, Hannah, why weepeth thou? And why you not eat? And why is the heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up and then went to eat in the Shion. And after they had the drink, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said to the Lord of hosts, if thou with indeed look on my affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but with give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said to her, how long wilt thou be drunk? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. Ah, someone who needed an undignified praise. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter. Out of abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken here. Then Eli answered, said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition, and that thou had asked of him. And thus saith the Lord. So we're talking about Hannah. We're talking about number one. Hannah was barren. And yes, we can be talking about the physical barrenness of Hannah. She had no children. And we understand that back in the day, having no children was a sign of almost poverty. We understand that children equaled prosperity. It still does now, doesn't it? Don't you brag about your children? Oh, my child is this, my child is that. We understand that not having any children as a woman can be devastating. After all, we're called womb men, meant to incubate and hold and develop and create something in life. Amen? And so I can't imagine Hannah's distraught when she realized that maybe her womb would not carry a man. And so I relate to Hannah, because many years ago, as I turned that age, and I realized that my womb too was barren. My womb too was barren. I had no children, I had no husband, and I was getting to that age where they now talk about miraculous pregnancies. And I'm like, no, Lord, no. I'm good right now being my age. I don't want a miraculous pregnancy. But I didn't know that the God of Israel had something different for me. And although it wasn't born out of my womb, he certainly did bless me with a child. And so I'm reminded that an empty womb questions who you are as a woman. Maybe some of you even have children that are no longer around. And so you feel that, yeah, my womb is empty because I don't know. These children, they're not serving God. Where are they? But God is here to say that you may be barren in the physical, but you're not in the spiritual. Amen? Amen? Amen. Do you have a question? Amen. Amen. And so we recognize if you are a woman like Hannah that may not have produced some children, and I want to say, yet, you're in good company. Because all throughout the Word of God, we see some women who hadn't produced yet. We see that God's timing was ever important. I understand that the Word of God said he closed her womb. I don't know why. Maybe that's one of the questions we can ask when we get to heaven. But God knows why. Because we serve a God who has the perfect timing. And don't you ever wonder? I remember when I was, struggling, I was just climbing over that 40 hill and realizing that my clock was ticking and I tried to hit the snooze button, but whatever I do, it would not snooze. Like, I just kept getting older. I was like, what's happening right now, right? I tried to put that alarm down and stuff, but I just kept getting older. And I said, Lord, isn't it funny that those who want children, those who would be great mothers, people said that to me all the time, oh, you're going to make a great mother. And I would just be like, shut up about the whole situation. But I recognized around me, people were spitting out children left, right, and center. And I'm like, how does one person have 10? Okay, maybe not 10, but 5, 3. How does someone have so many children? How do some children get lost? Some people don't even want the children that they birth. And then there's some of us whose heart's desire is to be a mom, but we're just not there. But God reminds me that his timing is perfect. I love Hannah because year after year, she kept going to the house of the Lord. She wasn't downtrodden and stuck in her house. She kept going. And it says year after year. So can you imagine how long that was? Can you imagine what Hannah was doing every single time? And I'm sure people reminded her of it. I think, and I know I'm not a scholar of the Bible, but I assume that Hannah was the first wife because her name is mentioned first. So I assume it was Hannah first, and then he went and got the other one, right? The other one, that's what we're going to call her. So we understand how, I can't imagine how she felt year after year, going to the temple, realizing, oh my gosh, is this going to be the year, Lord? Is this going to be the year? How many of us feel that way? It might not be a child, but it might be something that we're waiting on from the Lord. Is anyone waiting on something to happen? Are you waiting on the Joshua Center to be finished? Sorry, the core? Are you waiting on the core to get its roof? Huh? Are you waiting for the day where you see that up there and you're like, ah, balance is zero. We've paid in full. Are you not waiting for that year after year? Have you not been waiting for God to do something? Ah, so we can relate to the story of Hannah, can we not? Bullied. I know all about bullies. Not that I was one. I heard of them. We understand, yeah. Those who know me are laughing because they're like, she was a bully. So we recognize that Hannah was bullied. Penina, just her name alone. I feel like there's some sort of messiness going on. It's like piranha. It's like what is up with that name? Do not name your children that. I'm just saying. It's not a good look for them. So the very name alone means that she was messy, means that she was just like the enemy. Can you imagine every day just getting... Can you imagine? That's what she was like. Just like eating at Hannah. She bullied her. She tormented her. She reminded her that she wasn't a woman. She reminded her that she wouldn't be anything. She tried to wear out Hannah, just like the enemy does. Isn't that how he does? He wears you out. He wears you out. And I think about family when I think about Penina, because let's face it, she was family. Do we not have some family that sometimes wears us out? Huh? Do we not have some family that represent that adversary in our life? That is the one that's picking and prodding and poking at us? Because let's face it, not all of our family is saved. And sometimes you want to strike back, right? Because sometimes family can be the most taunting of all. In my house, in my family, no one ever asked me when I was going to get married. You know what they asked me? when are you going to stop all that schooling and have children? That's what they would ask. I didn't come from a generation of saved people. I didn't come from a generation of churchgoers. So anytime I would go to family functions, they would call my mother in Jamaica to ask her, when is she having babies? Because her year plus now minus that equals no children. And sometimes those closest to us can strike the deepest wounds. Isn't it true? Isn't it true? Those closest to us can make us hurt the most. They remind us of who we're not. They're not always the one to say, Colleen, you are just blessed and highly favored. No, they're like, you, can't even speak what they would say. But it's not always blessings that they want to bless us with. It's not always good news that they bring to me. And so I cannot imagine Hannah seeing this woman birth children for her husband and have her remind her every day that she had nothing. But I love this Hannah. I love this woman of grace. She could have walked out. She could have refused to go to the temple. She could have been angry. She could have been upset. She could have been depressed. She could have turned to alcohol. She could have turned to pornography. Because isn't that how we justify when God doesn't give us something? Don't we justify ourselves? And I say, well, I have no children. I don't have no husband. So I'm not going to heaven without having sex. I'm not going to heaven without having sex. After all, I'm a lazy woman. Why don't I take care of my own needs? The five-finger high five, we know what that is? We know what that is? I don't have to say it out loud? Huh? I did. Why don't I take care of my own needs? Why don't I do things? Why don't I step on that person? Why don't I lie? Why don't I steal? Because after all, God, I'm waiting on you, and I'm tired of waiting. So we begin to sin. Am I the only one in this room? Am I the only one that when I'm waiting for something, I want to push God? I want to move his hand. God, you said this to me. You gave me a prophetic declaration years ago, and I'm tired of waiting, so I'm going to go after it myself. I'm going to take it. But Hannah didn't. Hannah didn't. Hannah did something so powerful. Even though we understand that sometimes it's the strong people in the world that mock the weak. Is that not how it is? Sometimes at workplace, I'm with these CEOs and these big, I work in mental health and addictions at a hospital. And so sometimes I find myself in these meetings and I'm like, these people are mean. These people are just plain mean. Because you can have the whole world at your fingertips, but you can lose your soul. Amen? You can lose your soul so fast. But Hannah, she was bullied. She was broken. She understand that they were mocking her. I'm sure Penina was not the only one that was questioning. I'm sure she had a mother-in-law. Don't look at your mother-in-law. Don't look. Don't look. Don't look. When are you having babies? Huh? When are you going to get a job? When are you going to finish that degree? Asking us all kinds of questions. When are you going to go to a new church? Huh? Aren't you tired of being in the basement? Huh? When are you going to get up from there? This Holy Spirit thing, it's not working for you. This God that you serve, it's not quite working for you. Because I look at you and I see that you're in the same spot that you were 10 years ago. Am I the only one that people say that to? This is what was happening to Hannah. I can't imagine how her womb felt empty because she looked around and she realized that her circumstances may not have been changing. But we know this God that we serve. He's always in the plan. He's always in the know. He's not surprised. He's always working things out even before we see it. Isn't that what faith is? It's not about what I could see. It's what I believe. And so Hannah was broken. She was discouraged. They talk about she was ill. She didn't eat food. She didn't want to eat. She couldn't eat. She was desiring something so much from the Lord. And then there was her husband. And what we realized was at the time, not even her husband can satisfy. Isn't that how it is sometimes? We go out and we get other things, we get material things, we get the best job, the whatever that we need, and we realize that that still leaves me empty. Sometimes, I'm telling you, I used to smoke a lot of marijuana, and that still left me empty. I used to have a lot of boyfriends, and that still left me empty. I used to eat a lot of food, and clearly, that has not left me empty. No, I'm just joking. I'm still working on it, right? So we recognize that not even her husband. He said to her, Hannah, aren't I better than 10 men? And Hannah's probably thinking, Because nothing can satisfy when we have that unquenchable desire in our hands, when we want something so desperately. And then here's Hannah in the temple praising the Lord. What was she doing praying? Isn't that how it is sometimes? People might see us in the church a little undignified, and they might say, come on, Vita, get your act together. Do you have to praise that loud? Like, is it seriously that good for you? Even the man of God said to her, what are you doing? And we recognize that Eli, we know what was waiting for him later on in Samuel, right? He had his own house to take care of. He had his own children that were about to be snatched in one day, right? So sometimes we go to these men or women of God. They may not understand. Pastor Joy may not understand what you're going through. That's why you got to get one-on-one with the Lord. And Hannah said, excuse me, sir. She didn't cuss him. She wasn't like, I can't believe it. Can you believe it, Faith? You know what Pastor Joy said to me? I was worshiping the Lord, and she came over and said I was drunk. She didn't say that. She simply humbled herself to the man of God and said, you don't know what I'm standing here for. I am standing on holy ground, waiting for the God that I serve. And it may seem a little off to you. It may seem like something you've never seen before. But you see, God is an individual God. What he does for one person may not be the same that he does for you. I heard a wise woman at our church, Marlene Cleeps, who was healed of, is it MS? Or I can't remember what. She had a miraculous healing. And so one of the things Marlene said was, you believing your healing or your situation will be done the same as mine could cost you your life. God doesn't operate the same with everybody. So what you might see happening over here, he's an individual God. And so one of the things I've had to do in the years that I've been saving is to begin to know, how does God speak to me? How does he speak to me? What does he want me to do? Because it might not look like somebody else. I recognize God is looking for a remnant. And I keep saying I belong to a wonderful women's organization called Embrace Women Services. And I keep telling them, when everybody is swimming that way, I'm like, why? I'm headed this way. Because narrow is the gate. Amen? So when people are cussing, I'm telling you, and I have to say, I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm a God supporter. When we got Christian people rising up and slashing and saying all these things and just acting like the rest of the world, I'm like, why is everybody against this? Something in me is saying, don't watch someone else's praise. Don't watch that. Begin to get on your knees and seek God's face for the answer to this situation. Please, everyone says, you love Trump. I didn't say yes, and I didn't say no. Who I love is the God that I serve, and he is on the throne, and he has appointed. And so my job is to begin to pray, not light up Facebook with the same thing the world is doing, the same things that people are saying. We are a chosen, a peculiar people. And so when we start walking to everyone else's, when we start looking the same, something is wrong. I don't know, I'm not worldly, but you guys know I'm in drama, right? So I could use this situation. I love this Will Smith movie, iRobot. Does anyone know that? Right? All the robots are looking the same, right? Doom, 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 doom. But there's one. Come on, there's one. For whatever reason, that robot was different. I look at that movie, I'm like, yes, he's the one. This represents our Savior. He's different, that robot. He's not marching to the beat. He's developing things and people don't understand. And of course, we understand the end of the movie is that robot saves the day. That's what God is looking for. He's not looking for us to be the same and be uniformed. He's looking for us to stand out, for the core of this city to rise up and declare that we are going to be different. We are going to be a church that seeks the face of God, seeks Him for the answers. I'm one to talk a lot. Lord have mercy. I can talk, but God is teaching me, shh, why don't you just get into your prayer closet? Why don't you just pray with me and I'm going to give you the answer to that which frustrates you? Because that some of those things that bother us and irk us the most, those are some of the things we're called to go to God and the throne room for. So we recognized that Hannah was in a peculiar place. But how many of you know, weeping may endure for a night. Ha, and joy comes in the morning. It must come. Our weeping has an expiry date. It has an expiry date. Don't think it lasts forever. The only time it lasts forever is that when you want it to last forever. But my God says there is an expiry date to your pain. There is an expiry date to your barrenness. There is an expiry date to you being bullied, to you being depressed, to you being addicted, to you being poor. There is to you being single. Can I get an amen? We know that there's an expiry date because the word of God says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so just because I've wept for 3 nights and you've wept for 30 doesn't mean there's anything wrong with that. Just means God is doing something different. And we cannot be like the Elis. We cannot be like the people, the Peninas in the world, ready to accuse and point our fingers and mock and laugh. We've got to recognize that there is an undignified praise that is developing. Ha, there is something that is about to explode. I don't believe the hype when everyone's like, what's happening to Jesus? I'm like, nothing. He's the same God yesterday. He's the same God today. And he's the same God tomorrow. Read the word of God. Everything around us is supposed to be. So please don't get confused as Christians. Please don't get caught up in the Penina attitudes. Please begin to look to the Lord and declare that things are different. I'm the one that's running and skipping and jumping and screaming because I understand that the word of God is true. If ever we knew anything, we know that this word is true. Ah, I love the Lord. So Hannah began to do something. Although she was barren, although she was bullied, although she was broken, she began to do something. She believed. You see, women, let me just talk to y'all for a minute. We have this powerful thing called the tongue. All the men said, amen. Brock, simmer down. Right? We know that women, we have the power of the tongue. Listen, I can convince anyone of anything I wanted. As a matter of fact, when I was in the world, I would convince these girls to do some pretty daring things. Come with me, let's go slash some tires. Okay. Come on, just try a little bit of this marijuana. Let's go to the club. You like that guy? Let's go home with him. I was good with my mouth. I could convince people of anything. We have the power of tongue. We have that power. But Hannah didn't use her tongue to lash back. She used her tongue in prayer. She decided to get before the Lord. She decided that she had a response to the situation in our life. Because here's the problem with us. It's not that situations come. We've already recognized that they have an expiry date. It's how will you respond to the situations? I believe it's in our response that at the end of the day tells us, sorry, it's in our response, Lord, it's in our response that produces the expiry date. Stay with me, okay? If we're not responding correctly, oh, we'll be weeping for more than a night. The quicker I'm able to find that joy, the quicker that expiry date. This is just what I believe. I've been there where I've been crying and weeping and, oh, oh my God. It's good. I love crying. My daughter's here. She can testify. I cry at least once a day. I cry over her good news. She brings me all A's. I'm crying. I'm laughing. She does something crazy. I'm crying. I'm laughing. I love a good cry. But one thing I know is I'm quick to find the joy. I have to be. Because God has called me to walk a little bit different. God has called me to be a little Hannah-ish in my stance. That when people look at me and they say, but you should be crying. But you should be someplace, women. God has already given me the answer in my womb. And so there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Ah, my God, that greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. I am a more than a conqueror. I speak it to myself. I got to speak it to myself. I got to tell myself first. You're waiting till Sunday so someone else can tell you? You better open up your mouth and tell yourself that on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Oh, and Saturday, right? We can't just wait. We've got to have that undignified praise here. You see, God is always giving us a way out. I feel like he's always got two doors open in our life. The door of praise and the door of pity. It's up to us which door we choose to go through. How many of us go through that door of pity? I love that door, eh? I love the door of pity. But when I go in there, I realize, well, ain't this a joke? Ain't nothing but a bunch of pitiful people in here. Just sitting in their own sadness. But when I choose to go through the other door, when I choose to just, maybe I'll just put my toe in. Have you ever done that in worship? You know, Pastor Joy, I know you said take off your shoes. I'm just going to take off one shoe. I'm going to take off one. Or the men said I should lift my hand. I'm just going to. Has that ever not happened to you? And the moment you think, I'm not even going all the way in. I put on my good shoes, my good makeup, my good hair. And now you want me to take off my shoes in the church? Nope, I'm just going to stand here and glory be to. But all of a sudden, the God of suddenly, the God of suddenly, the God of now meets me halfway. Sometimes he doesn't need us to come all the way. He just says, come, I'm calling you just a little deeper, just a little deeper. Do you remember when you had little toddlers, little children, and they were learning to walk? And they would fall. When they fell, you weren't like, oh my gosh, you fell. You're never going to try that again. We didn't do that, right? What did we tell them when we took a step back? Didn't we? Strengthen your legs, baby. Come to mama. And then when they came this far, we took another step back. And we said, strengthen your legs. Come to mama. And then if you were like my mother, you held up chocolate chip cookies. And I was like, I'm running, I'm running, right? Then we got incentives. This is what the Lord does for us. He says to you, I want you to be strengthened. You see, you're in mud. You're in mud right now, and I need you to get out of that mud. But it's not going to be me sending a string for you to hold on through. I want you to strengthen your legs in that mud. I want you to strengthen your faith in that mud. I want you to keep on keeping on. When you're tired, you know what you do? You grab a sister. You grab your husband. You grab your children. You grab your pastor. And you are strengthened. You are strengthened together. My God, that's what the church is missing. We're missing the strength of one another. Ah, we are so much better together. All throughout the Bible, it's always two or more, or three or more, or six or more, or crowds of this. Very rarely were you there in the trugs by yourself. I think of the Apostle Paul who met God on his own, but immediately joined with other brothers and sisters. God wants to multiply. Because we see at the end of the story in Hannah, right? Number one, Hannah did something very brave. Because if your womb is closed, I recognize that there might be a reason for it. And so my prayer maybe needs to be a little bit different. maybe I've got to get in line with the Lord. And here's the dangerous prayer. Thy will be done. Right? Because suddenly, in the closet with the Lord, I recognize that my will may not be his will. That my way may not be his way. And so I get in my closet, and that's where I'm at. I'm like, Lord, let your will be, have your way, have your way. We say it, but do we really mean it? And so Hannah said, have your way, God. She said, you know what? When you give me what I need, when you give me that ministry, when you give me that job, when you give me the finances, I'm going to give it right back to you. And we know who came out of that. We know the prophet Samuel was born. Some of us are carrying some Samuels. Some of us are holding on to something that someone else needs because we refuse to get on our hands and feet and pray before the Lord. Some of us have that Samuel inside of us. And that might be a ministry. That might be feed the hungry. I don't know. Only you and God would know. But don't you dare begin to be your own Penina. Don't you dare allow the adversary to define who you are. If you don't know who you are, get to the Lord because he will tell you. And I'm telling you guys, I was a hot mess. I may be real cute now, but I'm telling you. That's where you guys say amen. I'm telling you, there was a time when I was the Penina. When I was that girl. I think even after I got saved, I think Vita can probably testify if it wasn't for the goodness of my friend who was willing to stand with me when I wasn't so nice. If it wasn't for the church family who knew that I was high coming to church, who knew that the night before I was doing all kinds of stuff that still remain unmentionable. We knew that, but there were some people who were put in place around me to say, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to help the Samuel that is within be birthed out of you. And I thank God for that. I thank God for those who stood the test of times. I thank God. I've learned one thing, to bless the Lord all times. The story ends. It doesn't end in chapter 1, but what I love is Hannah in chapter 2. You guys read it for your, is it chapter 2, Lord? Where Hannah's song, is it chapter 2? Thank you. Hannah, once she received, she did something. She went out and testified. She began to glorify God. There is a Hannah song that is written, and if you read it, I'm telling you, you understand where Hannah is. The Bible says we are overcomers by the and the. Sometimes we forget the testimony. Sometimes we forget to come back and testify about how good is God. I will test about anything. I'm like, oh, you'll never believe it. You'll never believe it. I went into Staples, and it was like 50% off. Is that not God? People are like, really? I'm like, yes! I will celebrate anything to have a party. Anything. You don't have to ask each other, what, you did that? Awesome, good. Let's. How are we going to celebrate? I have a friend. He's so funny. Now he tries to imitate me because he'll call and I'm just like, good morning! So he'll call and he's like, good morning! I'm like, you're really trying, eh? He goes, I'll never reach your enthusiasm. I'll never reach it because I will celebrate. I will celebrate. I will celebrate in the good. I will celebrate in the bad. I've learned to be that Hannah that produces a song out of my belly. Amen? I begin to celebrate. Y'all know I can't sing, but my God, when I get that praise music on, I don't care who can hear me. I don't care what I look like, my makeup running. I'm like, but Lord, I'm supposed to speak, and I'm a hot mess, and there's prophetic words. And I don't care because I know where I came from. Because I know I was in Hannah. Because I know I was barren. Because I know I was bitter. Because I know I was bullied. Because I know I was broken. Because I know my past, it certainly propels me towards my future. So I don't know about you guys, but I throw this question out to you. What good will will come out of Hamilton? What good is going to come out of the core? Amen? Amen. Bless God. I'm gonna end here today. I don't know what you want me to do. Do you? What are you feeling? Should I pray? That's right. That's what Hannah did. And so I know how to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of you who know how to pray in the Spirit, let's just begin to pray. Hallelujah, God. My God, hallelujah. God, you are a good God. You are a good God. And so today, God, we choose to be glad because this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice in it. My God, teach us how to be Hannah's, God. There's some of us in here that have been broken, God. There's some of us in here that are still dealing with the tormenting spirits that keep them up at night. But my God, we recognize that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you as we begin to see the expiration date. We thank you, Lord, as we begin to see the rebuilding, hallelujah, of some things that have been torn away, some removing. God, I'm even reminded that some of the things that you have removed have not been the enemy, but have been you. You have saved us from some situations, God. You have saved us from going in the wrong door. Oh, my God, I thank you that we refuse. We shut the door on self-pity today. We shut the door on depression today. We shut the door on poverty today. My God, we shut the door of unemployment today. We shut the door of addiction today. We shut the door of rebellion today in the name of Jesus. My God, like we understand that we are standing on holy ground, God, that wherever we go, the Spirit of God goes before us, O Lord, Father God. You make a way where there seems to be no way. Ah, you are the God of the answers. You are the same God today as you were yesterday. You're the same God that was with Hannah. God, you're the same God. Ah, but today we have a Holy Spirit, and some Holy Spirit teach us. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to have that Hannah anointing. Teach us how to understand that nothing is done without your knowledge, God. And you are a good God. As we declare today, you are a good God. And so every good and perfect gift, it comes from above. And so, God, if there's things that I'm waiting on, I gotta check my agenda. I gotta figure out, is this will in your will? Is this according to your purpose? Because I just want to walk according to your will. And so, God, thy kingdom come. Ah, we don't have to wait for heaven to enter that Zoe life, God. You said that we can have abundant life here on earth, God. I'm reminded of Hannah, who was multiplied after Samuel. She had many children, O Lord, Father God. And so I recognize that there is a release. Ah, God, I'm reminded that the closer we get to you, the louder our cries should be. Like the man that stood by the pool, God, the closer you got to him, the louder he declared that you were Lord. And so, God, we draw nigh unto you. We draw closer to you so that we can declare that you are our Lord and Savior. God, we just want to be you. We just want to be more like you. And so, God, burn away, consuming fire, burn away anything that is hindering us, keeping us back, preventing us from stepping forward into our destiny. So, Lord, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. You are a good God. So we glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Well, let's give it up for Colleen. Another terrific message. We're going to get the food ready for you now, so let's just pray over the food, and we'll get it out, and we can get eating. Lord, I just come to you, and I thank you for the message you've brought to all the mothers in the house today, Lord, and to the gentlemen of this house, Lord. And I just I pray a blessing over every mother, every woman in this place today, Lord, and may you bless this food to our body and us to your service. In Jesus' name, amen.